chapter 2. Last several weeks we've looked at verses 15 through 17, which shows us that the Christian life is a life of separation from the world. I'd like to look at verses 18 through verse 29, the end of the chapter. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, that is, the Antichrist, even now are there many Antichrists, not the Antichrist, but Antichrists, plural, whereby, that is, because there are many Antichrists, we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were all not, that they were not all of us. But, that is, contrary to these mentioned in verse 19, ye, the saved, have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning, and that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, been looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John. In these verses, there are several illustrations of the Christian life. We want to begin, we see the word know occurs in verse 18. It occurs three times in verse 20. And then two more times in verse 29. And we want to see that the Christian life is a life of knowing. It is a life of knowledge. The world likes to present Christians as idiots, as people who are uninformed. But the Bible teaches that a child of God is one who knows. One who knows some things that the world has no idea of. We also see that in these verses there is a reminder of the times and the conditions in which you and I live. There is a reminder that the Holy Spirit brings an assurance that the lost world knows nothing about. Now, first of all, verse 18 talks about the times in which we live. It talks about knowing those times. Notice, little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So we read in the first line, it is the last time. We read in the last line, we know that it is the last time. So the child of God should, like no one else, know the times in which they live. It's sad to listen today to educated individuals try to explain why we're in the mess we're in and why things are happening the way they're happening. The truth is, they have no idea. But the Bible is very plain. I mean, when you read the scriptures, you can see very plainly what is happening. And we know why it is happening. And so every child of God should have this knowledge. So he begins in verse 18 by saying, little children, it is the last time. Now this is referred to as the last times in 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. And then it's also referred to as the last days. Now all this is the same. Last time, last times, last days, all referring to the same time period. Now notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. These last days again are the same as the last times that John is talking about in 1 John 2 and verse 18. So we have the last days. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews writes here that we are in the last days, that he was in the last days. In verse 1 it says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, notice, hath in these last days, he's putting himself in the last days, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now that tells us biblically when the last days begin. The last days begin with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He has spoken unto us by his Son. That biblically, that is when the last day, the time frame begins of the last days. Then notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come, he's speaking out in the future, even though they're in the last days, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So these three terms, last time, last times, and last days, refer to the same time period. Now, many falsely assume that the last days only consist of a brief, very brief period of time right before the coming of the Lord. But I believe again that the last days began with the incarnation of Christ and continue until the days in which we live. Now, if you read the scriptures, you begin to understand some things that transpire in the last day. So the last day, we're living in the last days, beginning with the incarnation of Christ. Now, the last days for you and I continue up till the rapture, and then the last days are over for you and I that are saved. But for the unsaved, the last days continue through the tribulation period. So it depends whether you're, they began with the incarnation of Christ, but they have, last days have different ending time depending whether or not you're saved or unsaved. So we read here in verse 18 that we know that it is the last time. The reason we know that is because the Bible reveals characteristics of the last times. And every child of God, especially the day in which we live, need to be aware of what is transpiring, why it is happening, and how it all fits with God's program, with God's plan. And when we view it in that light, though we're not happy with a lot of things that go on in these last days, and a lot of things just sicken us, but as you begin to fit it into God's plan, it's very encouraging at the same time for God's people. Now, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and 1, verse that we already read, that in these last, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means hazardous times shall come, dangerous times shall come. It has the meaning of difficult times shall come. Very trying times shall come. I've preached in several different places, conferences, and meetings that, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe I can show it to you in Scripture, we've preached it here as well, that things in the United States, things worldwide, are not going to improve. If you're looking for a revival in the United States, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen worldwide either. Things are going to continually get worse. And I believe they're going to have to get quite a bit worse before the Lord comes. Because I believe when the Lord comes, God's people are almost begging for Jesus to return. And what I see, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Now, I believe that the Lord's churches in these last days, in these last times, can experience revival. And I believe some of them will experience revival. But as far as nationwide, worldwide, it's over. I mean, the world you knew, it's gone. The United States that you knew, it's gone. It's not coming back. It's gone. And many, that upsets a lot of people. They say, well, that's a defeatist attitude. No, it's not. There's nothing defeatist about it. It speaks of the victory that we're almost there. We're almost there. There's nothing defeatist about it at all. So it means difficult times will come. Uneasy times will come. Very hard times. But the word also means violent and threatening. Violent and threatening and dangerous and hazardous times shall come. It speaks of times of great stress. Times of great stress. Times that are just very difficult to deal with. Times that are very hard to bear. Now, we're getting there. I mean, it's getting more and more difficult to bear some things. It's getting a little harder each day to put up with some of the nonsense that's going on in our world. But this is what the word perilous means. And as we get further along in the last days, these things are only going to increase. That word perilous is the same word translated exceeding fierce, speaking of the demonic of Gadara in Matthew 8, verse 28. So in other words, in the last days, it speaks of violence, it speaks of hostility, it speaks of aggressiveness, it speaks of that which is unrestrained. And I believe that is the key. It's times where there's no restraint. And we'll get to that in a minute, and we've taught in this before. But notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible teaches that as we go along in the last days, things are going to get worse. So if the last days began with the incarnation of Christ. From that point forward, things continually get worse. In verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, that doesn't mean that people are more evil than they were 100 years ago or 500 years ago, because you can't get more evil than total depraved. I mean, men are still as wicked as possible, but you look through history and it seems like God restrained the wickedness of man. God put his restraining hand upon man. But as the last days progress, I believe God is removing his restraining hand, and man is left to himself and begins to display more and more of that wickedness. Notice in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, prior to the flood, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, this is right before God is going to pour out his wrath and his judgment upon the world. And he says, I want you to know that my spirit will not always strive with man. It speaks of a restraint. That was in Noah's day. Now, the days of the last days are similar to the days of Noah, according to Jesus Christ. Then if we go over to 2 Thessalonians, again, these are familiar verses, chapter 2, verse 6. In verse 1, he talks about our gathering together unto him. That's the rapture. So that's our context here. He then goes on and he talks about the Antichrist there in verses 2 through verse 4. In verse 6, he says, and now ye know what withholdeth. To withhold is... the word there means restrain. So there's something that restrains. He that withholdeth, that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. So the Holy Spirit restrains men so that the Antichrist will be revealed in his time. The Antichrist is not coming before his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That is, it's presently at work. Only he who now letteth or restraineth will let or will restrain. Until. That's a very important word. So we see the Spirit of God. I believe the Spirit of God is the restraining agent. The Spirit of God restrains until he be taken out of the way. Now, I don't believe that God just, things are just going along smoothly, and then all of a sudden God just removes the Holy Spirit and everything falls to pieces. And I believe there is a gradual removal of the Holy Spirit as a restraining agent. And that continues through the last days. And that's why things are getting worse, because God's taking his restraining hand off of man. And now man is doing things he didn't even think about doing 200 years ago, because God was restraining him. But now God's restraining hand is being removed. And then notice, after this restrainer is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked, talking about the Antichrist, be revealed. So now that takes us into the tribulation period. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, which takes us to Revelation chapter 19. So the Holy Spirit has a restraining agent, is being gradually removed in these last days, leading up to the rapture of God's people, but also preparing the world, setting up the world for the tribulation period. period. Now, I believe that during the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit as a restraining agent is gone. Gone altogether. So if you think it's bad now, if you are here and lost and you were to live through the tribulation period where there is no restraint whatsoever, we live in a time when we see God removing his restraining hand. Can you imagine? And I don't believe we can imagine it. But can you imagine total depravity, completely unrestrained? And I believe that's what you'll have during the tribulation period. But we live in these last days. We live in these last days when the Holy Spirit as a restraining agent is being removed. And you and I, as God's people, are to know the times in which we live. And the conversation comes up all the time. Hey, you can go to the barber shop. I don't care where you go. The conversation is always coming up now. People are scratching their heads and trying to figure out what in the world is going on in our world. And people will oftentimes just say what's on their mind. They'll say, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. That is the perfect time for God's people to let me show you something. Let me explain to you what is going on in our world and warn them you'd better be prepared because it's going to get worse. I mean, the politicians aren't going to fix this mess because this is God's plan. This is God's plan. And people, in spite of what they think, aren't getting more intelligent. They're getting more ignorant by the moment. And God is blinding their eyes and God is removing knowledge from them. And we've got people who are in so-called positions of leadership that know less than little children sitting in church services today. We're in sad shape. But we need to, again, 1 John 2 verse 18 tells us that we know that's the last time. And knowing that it's the last time, Paul said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So for God's people, knowing that it's the last time, again, we hate to see some of the things that are happening, and they greatly disturb us. But at the same time, you can't help but be encouraged, because we're getting close. We're getting close. One thing for sure, we're closer than we've ever been before. You and I live in a time that no people have ever been closer to the coming of the Lord than you and I. So, in one sense, it is an exciting time to live. Now, this spiritual knowledge, and we see it begins by knowing that it is the last time. And it is a knowledge knowing something about the Antichrist. And it is a knowledge that causes us to realize that the spirit of Antichrist or Antichrists are everywhere. A child of God, because of the spirit of God dwelling in them, should be able to identify Antichrist. I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about Antichrists. We should immediately be able to identify whatever it is that is against, that is opposed to Jesus Christ. That's why it is appalling today that so many of God's people, or those who profess to be God's people, fall in line with the philosophies and the political reasoning of the day. They fall in line with it. They get caught up with it. It's as if they have no discernment of the spirit of Antichrist, which makes me wonder if they even know the Lord. But we have to know the times in which we live. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people today, even amongst God's people, that seem to have a grasp of the times in which we live. We need a grasp of where we are. We need to look at things and say, okay, I see where that fits in the Word of God. And it's not that difficult. I mean, it's getting easier. It really is. It's getting easier all the time. As I look at older commentaries, people back then were not as clear on the coming of Christ as I believe they are today, because more and more is being, the things that are happening, They just fit now into the Word of God. A lot of the guessing that went on even 50 years ago, the guessing's been removed. You don't have to guess that anymore. It's happened. And it's happening. So the Christian life is a life of knowledge. And I believe that's one reason the world cannot hardly stand, can hardly stomach a child of God who knows the Scriptures, because we do know. We know what's happening. And they don't like that. They would rather think that, well, we're just in a little bump in the road here, and all we have to do is get the right people into office. All we have to do is wait till 2012, and we'll fix this mess. No, you won't. It's unfixable. God isn't going to allow it to be fixed. Now, there are certain things that can be improved, and I have no doubt that will happen. There will be little areas that might have some improvement, but overall, things are going to continually decline, and God's people have a knowledge of these things. So we'll look next week at the value of this spirit.